This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, "Oh Muslim, when you read the Quran and you come across Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, pay attention. Open your ears. Be focused, for Allah is talking to you directly." And after he says, "Oh you who believe," he's either going to command you to do something or warn you from doing something. There's an instruction coming, be ready for it. People who have iman, they are fuqaha of themselves. Al-mu'min faqihu nafsi, as Imam Shatibi says. That the mu'min, the one who has true iman, he's a faqih of himself. He doesn't need a fatwa from a sheikh. Deep down he knows, you know what? This doesn't feel right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa bihi nasta'in wa nusalli wa nusallim ala khatam al-nabiyyin. Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, we begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum salih al-a'mal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, we remember the last surah that we recited, huh? Or did some people forget? Should we try that again? Salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum. Remember the verse, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. Just a quick lesson for you all. The scholars have deduced from this verse that if someone greets you by saying assalamu alaykum, the minimum response is وَعَلَيْكُمْ salam. It's obligatory. The greeting is a sunnah, but to respond to the greeting becomes wajib. When someone greets you, to respond becomes wajib because of this verse. And if somebody greets you and says assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, it's not enough for you to respond by saying wa alaykum salam. You've gone against the directives of this verse. The minimum response has to be wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And if someone greets you in full and says assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you have no choice but to respond by saying wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now how many here knew this? Now we need to bring alive the verses of the Quran into our lives, especially during this month. Alhamdulillah, today we completed Surah An-Nisa, and we completed it very early on in the evening. Yesterday, I took you through 20 vulnerable groups mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. And we said one of the reasons why Surah An-Nisa is named Surah An-Nisa is because it has many laws pertaining to the females, and also because they are vulnerable. They can be vulnerable. They are a people that a people can oppress. So we said Surah Al-Imran had the central theme of steadfastness. And An-Nisa has the central theme of justice. Justice, especially towards those who can easily be oppressed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shared with us rules and etiquettes pertaining 20 groups. We went through them yesterday, but we left out one kalala. And kalala was mentioned early on in Surah An-Nisa. And it was also mentioned today just at the end. Imam Suhaib, he recited it in his portion. Kalala is not part and parcel of our sessions. It has a very strong fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence discussion. But just for your general knowledge, it refers to an inheritance circumstance where a person passes away and they have no father or grandfather or anyone in that line, and no son or grandson or anyone in that line to inherit from the inheritance. So naturally there will be a remainder, because there's no one to take the remainder. Normally the father and the son, they take the remainder. So what happens here? There's money left behind, there's people who have their actual shares, and now we have this money. There's a group that are vulnerable. There's a group that can be oppressed because of this money. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the laws pertaining to them, and they refer to the siblings of the deceased and how they inherit that remainder. That is kalala in a nutshell. And that is 20 groups now in completion that we discussed from Surah An-Nisa. Then we began Surah Ma'idah. And Ma'idah can be translated in the English language as the banquet. And as Surah Al-Baqarah is named after a historical event, Surah Al-Ma'idah is also named after a historical event. And the scholars of tafsir teach us that through the namings of these surahs, and some surahs named after historical events, the Quran is teaching us the importance of learning our history, of being well acquainted with the events and affairs of the people of the past. What worked for them, what didn't work for them, and what happened for those who did the right things, and what was the consequence and result for those who did the wrong things, so that you take heed and you don't walk in the wrong footsteps of those who treaded the path that you are treading on right now. That there's ibar, there's lessons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions to us the story of the Ma'idah in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And inshallah tomorrow, it will be in tomorrow's reading, we will hear about it inshallah. Surah Al-Ma'idah is a Madani surah, meaning it was revealed after Hijrah, after migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. And it has 120 verses in it. And not only is it a Madani surah, but it's one of the final surahs revealed. And this is a matter of importance to the fuqaha, the scholars of Islamic jurisprudence. This is a matter of importance to them. Why? Because we know the Quran was revealed over a period of 23 years. And verses came down, and then sometimes Allah would lift a ruling and leave a verse. Or He would lift a verse and the ruling. Or He would lift a verse and leave the ruling. And this phenomenon is known as the phenomenon of an-nasikh wal-mansukh, or the phenomenon of abrogation. And in the first juz we had this discussion, I believe it was in Hafi Dhakir, it was recitation. مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. Allah established that in Surah Al-Baqarah, that there is this process of abrogation that takes place with revelation. Because Allah will reveal a law that is suitable to a time. And then when the Muslims progress, He reveals the final law and He lifts the law prior. So this is the idea of abrogation. Now, when you have two verses that seemingly contradict each other, what did the fuqaha do? The scholars of jurisprudence, methodology, or usul al-fiqh, they say, look at the ruling that was revealed later. And the later ruling would naturally abrogate the earlier ruling. Because both rulings came from one perfect source, that source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of this principle in jurisprudence methodology, the scholars of fiqh and Islamic jurisprudence, they look for what was revealed later. So the verses in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the verses we heard tonight, are known as verses that are muhkamah, verses that are established, verses that will reign final. If there is another verse in the Quran that has a meaning that contradicts it, the scholars will give importance to what we read today in Surah Al-Ma'idah. So this is an important point for us to take reference of in terms of the virtues of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Then the next point of discussion is its relationship naturally to Surah An-Nisa, because we try and piece these things together for us to appreciate the suitability of the Quran in how it's been placed in its order. And there are several. From them, I will just share a few. The ruling of alcohol. Yesterday we said that Surah An-Nisa taught us that from the vulnerable groups are new Muslims. And how do we deal with new Muslims? We don't take a bucket of laws and throw it on top of them at the same time. That you have to do this, and you have to change your clothing, you have to change your name, and you have to. And then immediately after Iman, they feel overwhelmed, and they might leave after they entered. Islam preaches a process of at-tadarruj, a graduation, this gradual approach towards bringing people upon the ideals that Islam revealed. When Allah revealed alcohol being haram, He did it in stages. One of those stages was what we read about yesterday. He said, if you're drunk, don't come to the prayer. But now you want to pray, which means most of the day you'll have to stay away from alcohol. He weaned them off it. But in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the surah we learned today, we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I believe that will be in tomorrow's reading, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made alcohol haram in totality. Fajtanibu. There's no exceptions now. It's not a matter of prayer versus non-prayer. You can't drink in the day, but you can drink in the night on condition you sober by the time Fajr arrives. Now it's finished. Innamal khamru wal maysiru wal ansabu wal azlamu rijs. You will hear this tomorrow at the tail end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. So this is the connection. Something started or something was present in An-Nisa, we see it's connected verse in the next surah, the surah that we just read tonight. Then also, Surah An-Nisa was big on not going against your word and maintaining your covenants and promises. I think you remember this, right? Allah mentioned this in several ways
especially when we discuss the different vulnerable groups, that we should speak what we mean and mean what we speak. We should be true to our promises. We should be true to our covenants. When you promise somebody you will do it, do it. If you take the orphan's wealth, that is a promise to you, from you to them, that you will act in their best interest with regards to it. Be true to your covenant. And there were many other examples. Even with the inheritance, Allah said, fear Allah with the inheritance. Those who act in the capacity of an executor to the will. People have entrusted you that you will do the right thing. So be true to your promise and your covenant. Surah An-Nisa ends at the opening of Al-Ma'idah. The Imam Suhaib read today, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu awfu bil uqud. O you who believe, fulfill your promises and your covenants. Don't go against your word. If you said you'll do it, do it. If you say you will undertake a responsibility, take ownership of it. Subhanallah. As if at the opening of Al-Ma'idah, Allah is teaching us leadership. And many people ask me this question, how do you define leadership? What is the definition of leadership? We see a lot of definitions in the different books on productivity. From my experience, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, leadership means one thing: ownership. If you take ownership of what you have to do, you're a leader. Simply. If it's time to pray and you take ownership and pray, you're a leader. If Allah blesses you with a child and you take ownership of your role as a father, you're a leader. If you say you, if you volunteer with a program and a task is given to you and you take ownership of it, you're a leader. Not that you take ownership of it and then you let it slide. And then people are calling you. Did you get it done? Didn't you get it done? And you're part of a chain, and because you didn't get it done, you put downward pressure on everybody else's roles and responsibilities. At the beginning of this surah, Allah is telling us to be leaders. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, O Muslim, when you read the Quran and you come across Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, pay attention. Open your ears. Be focused, for Allah is talking to you directly. And after he says, O you who believe, he's either going to command you to do something or warn you from doing something. There's an instruction coming, be ready for it. Allah says, O you who believe, if I paraphrase, be a leader. Awfu bil uqud. Be true to your covenants. Take ownership of the promise that you made. Take ownership of the responsibility you placed upon yourself. This is at the opening of Suratul Ma'idah. Suratul Ma'idah, na'am. So we see this, subhanallah, in terms of the relationship between these two surahs. The composition of Surah Ma'idah, if I can distill it as we've tried to do with the other surahs, we can distill it into two segments. Number one, legislation, no doubt. Surah Al-Baqarah, filled with legislation. An-Nisa, filled with legislation. That continues in Al-Ma'idah. And like I said, much of legislation came down after migration from Mecca to Medina. Why? Because for the first time the Muslims had a Muslim country. And Allah was revealing to a people whose hearts were set on Allah. And Aisha radiallahu anha said that if the first law that Allah revealed was to leave alcohol and so on and so forth, they would have said, please, we cannot walk with you on this journey. But the Quran came down with the Meccan verses, and the Meccan verses focused on Tawheed. And they focused on establishing the Prophet as the messenger. And they focused on life after death, belief in the hereafter, that there is a life after you go in the grave. And it focused on adab, Islamic morals, manners and etiquette. These are four themes of Meccan revelation. Open any Meccan surah, you will find these four themes present, verse after verse. But when you open the Madani surahs, you find legislation present, verse after verse. And there are some exceptions, like Surah Yusuf, for example. Surah Yusuf has longer verses, it's more story orientated. This is an exception. The Madani surahs also have an exception, but that's an exception to the general rule. The general rule with Madani surahs is it's filled with legislation. So we have legislation. And then we have three prominent stories. We have more stories if we deduce from certain packages of verses together, but we have three prominent stories in this particular surah, Surah Al-Ma'idah. As for legislation, let me run through them very quickly. Allah reveals, and we heard this today and we will hear the remainder tomorrow, rulings pertaining to contracts, marrying the people of the book, bequests at the time of death, or wasiyah, the meat of animals, which includes slaughtered animals and hunted animals, the rulings regarding hunting when in ihram, and if you violate that rule, what is the penalty? We find this in this particular surah. The ruling pertaining to alcohol, to gambling, the penalty for stealing, thievery, and hiraba, highway robbery. We heard it in the verses recited by Hafiz Dhakir. The expiation of breaking your oath. We will see that tomorrow, inshallah. The slaughtered meat of the people of the book. What is the rulings pertaining to it? We find it in the surah. The ruling of wala and bara, associating with the truth and disassociating with falsehood. Associating with the believers and disassociating with disbelief. Associating with the sharia and disassociating with that which goes against the sharia. Wala and bara, it's big in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And Surah Al-Ma'idah is known for its addresses. If Surah Al-Baqarah challenged the narratives of the Jews, and then Al-Imran challenged the narratives of the Christians, and then An-Nisa continued challenging the narratives of the Christians, Al-Ma'idah challenged the narratives of both the Christians and the Jews. Allah says, tells us about those who said Allah's hands are tied, and Allah is poor and they are rich, the Jews. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةً لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. That's the misconceptions of the Christians. Allah says, they have disbelieved those who said Allah is one of three. They have disbelieved those who said that that Allah is Isa, or Isa is Allah. This is, we find this present, subhanAllah, that Al-Ma'idah challenges both their narratives. But also, subhanAllah, it's filled with advice and commands to the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. At the beginning, awfu bil uqud. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tahillu sha'air Allah. And oh, you who believe, do not make halal what Allah has made haram. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. That oh, you believe, don't take systems of disbelief, systems of the Jews and the Christians, don't take them as your helpers and your aids. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا الذين اتخذوا دينكم هزوا ولعبا. Oh, you who believe, don't take the system of those who treat your system, your religion, as falsehood, as a joke. We see the instruction to the believers as well. A lot of ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Maybe tomorrow we can bring them as when we complete bithinillahi ta'ala. So this is present as well. The scholars of tafsir, they say there's 18 unique rulings found in Surah Al-Ma'idah. You won't find them anywhere else in the Quran. Now remember, we're saying that this was one of the final chapters revealed before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away. So Allah is revealing the final matters. 18 of these matters are found in Surah Al-Ma'idah. You won't find them anywhere in the Quran. Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, the famous Maliki faqih and mufassir, he mentions there's a 19th, subhanallah. And this shows you the scholars of tafsir, subhanallah, how they think, how they sat with the Quran, and how they deduced this richness, subhanallah. What I share with you these evenings is not from me, it's from swimming through the books of tafsir. Subhanallah. He pulled out a 19th, and he said it's in the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا نَادَيْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ اتَّخَذُوهَا هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا. And when you call to the prayer, they take it in ridicule and amusement. The people of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing here, according to Imam Al-Qurtubi, the adhan connected to the five daily prayers. He goes, this doesn't exist anywhere in the Quran except in Surah Al-Ma'idah. But does adhan exist in the Quran? Who can think of a verse, if there is another place where the adhan is mentioned, to prove Imam Al-Qur to be perhaps wrong? Jumu'ah, mashallah. What is the verse? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha nudiya lis-salah. Oh, you who believe, if you called, idha nudiya, if you hear the call to the prayer, fas'u ila dhikrillah, go to the prayer, wadharul bay'. We discussed this yesterday, sah? Correct, when we said that Allah commands us to dhikr after salah. And one of the examples was there in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. Na'am. But Imam Al-Qurtubi is not wrong. Imam Al-Qurtubi is saying that adhan is connected to Jumu'ah. But the adhan mentioned in Al-Ma'idah is connected to the five daily prayers. That is some general knowledge for you, inshallah. In case one day you are in a mentee quiz show, inshallah, and the question is asked, you have some extra thaqafa islami, alhamdulillah. Okay, so that's in terms of the legislation. In terms of the stories, we have three. The first one is the story of Banu Israel and Musa. Like I said, Al-Ma'idah challenges both narratives. Allah tells us about an event connected to Banu Israel and Musa, which Allah didn't tell us in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah says about them, قالوا يا موسى إنا لن ندخلها أبدا ما داموا فيها فاذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا هاهنا قاعدون. They said, oh Moses, indeed we will not enter this city. We will not enter it. Yes, you're telling us to go and you're saying Allah said go, we will not enter it. We will never enter it. As long as those people that are therein, they remain therein. We are afraid of them. We're not going to fight them. And if anything, you and your Lord go and fight them. We're going to sit here. Subhanallah. So Ma'idah is building upon the narratives that we discussed during the first night when we discussed Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, what's the backdrop here? The backdrop is a few verses before this, Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى, when Allah said to Musa, when Musa said to his people, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ, when Musa said to his people, يَا قَوْمْ, O my people, اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, remember Allah's favors upon you. He saved you from the Fir'aun. He split the river for you to cross. He drowned Fir'aun so you can live your life without looking over your shoulder. And then he gave you blessings after blessings, and we learned this during the first night. اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, remember Allah's favors upon you. And from those favors is جَعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَاء. Not, did Allah didn't just give you one prophet. He gave you prophets. Prophets. وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكَ, and you wanted kingdomship and rulers who are kings. Allah gave you this as well. And we discussed this at the end of the second juz, when they were asking for a king, asking for a king, asking for a king. Then Allah gave them Talut. Then they started complaining, why Talut? He's not from our lineage, and he doesn't have the financial standing and material well-being that we expect our king to have. In any case, Musa is telling them, think of Allah's favors upon you. Not only did he give you a prophet, he gave you prophets. And not just prophets, he gave you kings. And then he says, وَآتَاكُمْ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ, he gave you things that Allah gave no other nation. You have the ability to be the chosen ones, the chosen ones. يَا قَوْمْ أُدْخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةَ, O people, go enter this blessed land. The scholars of tafsir have differed what this land refers to. Some have said it's the Levant, Sham, which is modern day Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria. And some have said it's Palestine. And some have said it's Bayt al-Maqdis. And these are lands that the Quran says, Al-Ard al-lati barakna fiha. Allah describes these lands as blessed. Musa says to them, receiving this instruction from Allah, that there are people there who are sinners, who are wrongdoers, who are oppressors. Musa, you and your people, the chosen ones, go and remove them from there. These are blessed lands. Blessed lands need blessed people. So this is what Musa said to his people. But look how Musa spoke to them, subhanallah. Musa didn't just tell them, right people, we need to go and fight them. He said, oh people, remember Allah's favors upon you. There's lessons here. How to interact with people. How to speak to people. Wisdom when there's da'wah. If you know your people and they have this type of attitude, sometimes you have to calm them a little bit. You have to, you know what they say, neutralize them. You got to neutralize the situation. But despite Musa's efforts and Musa telling them, do this and don't turn your back on Allah and His command. Because if you do so, you'll be from the losers. They said to Musa, ya Musa, inna fiha qawman jabbarin, that indeed in this place are tyrannical people. People of strength. People who are too strong. We are nothing in front of them. There's no match here, Musa. And indeed, we will never enter until they leave. But if they leave, then we will enter. Now, some of the scholars of tafsir say Musa, he was strategic. He sent people to go and monitor the situation. And those people came back and told Musa the reality of the people therein. And Musa told them, keep this between us. Don't tell the rest of the people. But they went and told the rest of the people besides two. One of those two was Yusha bin Nun. And Yusha bin Nun was one of the companions of Musa. We see him mentioned indirectly in the Quran. Even when Musa went to search for Khidr, they say the Fatan was Yusha bin Nun. So now they were all aware of the finding of this group of diligence. And this is what they said to Musa. But Allah, look how just the Quran is. And this teaches us how to be just. Remember the story, or the lesson of justice from yesterday? When you talk about a group, don't be stereotyped and stereo-minded in how you mention them, whereby the listener thinks they're all bad people. Allah says, this is what they said to Musa, but قَالَ رَجُلًا, there were two people. Subhanallah. There were two people who were righteous. مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ, from the people who feared. They feared Allah. They didn't want to disobey Allah. And they remembered Allah's favors upon them. They said, O people, enter upon them through the gate. Just do what Allah has told you to do. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ Just trust Allah's promise. When you enter, you won't be able to explain it, but you will succeed. You will overcome them. You won't be able to explain it. Just listen to Allah, you will overcome. Listening to Allah versus a people who don't listen to Allah, there's no issue here of them being stronger than us. We are stronger. Stronger is in those who Allah chooses. Strength is in those who are righteous. Strength is in taqwa and iman, not in muscle power and height and size. This is what they said. So Allah is telling us, look how just the Quran is. That this was Banu Israel, but there were two people who said the right thing. Allah mentions them in the Quran. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ And put your trust in Allah if you are indeed believers. If you are believers, this is the time. Put your trust in Allah and just, let's just do it. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى This is when they said to Musa, we're not going to go, you and your Lord go and fight. Musa then complained to Allah and said, "Ya qala rabbi inni la amliku illa nafsi wa akhi." That, oh Allah, I have no control over the situation except over myself and my brother Harun. Fafruq baynana wa bayna al-qawm al-fasiqeen. So separate between us and the disobedient people. Allah revealed the punishment, the consequence for not listening to him. Allah said, فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ 40 سَنَةً We heard this tonight. يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ That indeed, that land that we promised them is forbidden for them now. Now they will be lost in the desert for a period of 40 years. This is their punishment. They will just roam around the desert without having any land that they belong to, without having any country that they will be a part of. They will just roam as nomadic people around the desert for 40 years. They will wander throughout the land. Allah says, do not grieve over the defiantly disobedient people. Second story, and this is connected to Banu Israel, because Allah mentions it in the context of discussing the narratives of the Jews. The story of Qabil and Habil. Hafiz Dhakir, he read the first story I shared with you today, and the story as well. Adam alayhi salam, when he was sent onto earth with his wife Hawa, our mother, obviously now he was given children. And the rules pertaining to the children differed back then to how it is now. Allah evolved the rule. Back then, a brother and sister were brother and sister if they were born together as part of one birth, meaning one womb. It was called one womb. All right? So a pair would be born and they couldn't marry each other. But another pair would be born, and the people from the first pair could marry the people from the second pair. This was the system. Allah blessed Adam alayhi salam with children, and from them Qabil and Habil, the two sons of Adam. Allah tells us in the Quran the first crime committed on earth, and it was the crime of murder. And he tells us the first sin of the heart that led to that physical crime. It was the crime of jealousy. What happened? The scholars have said that Habil was born with his sister, and Qabil was born with his sister. And with regards to Qabil, his sister was pretty, and Habil, his sister, wasn't considered to be pretty. Qabil's sister was considered to be better. Habil's sister wasn't considered to be better. And naturally, Habil was going to marry Qabil's sister. But Qabil felt, this is a bad deal. I'm not happy with this. This is unfair. It shouldn't work like this. You getting the better deal, I'm getting the inferior deal. I'm oppressed. So they went to their father Adam alayhi salam, and they complained to Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam, he didn't want to solve this himself. He says, let's leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he told them to sacrifice for Allah. At that time, the sacrifice would happen whereby people would take from their wealth and they would go to a high place and they would place what they wanted to give for the sake of Allah, and a fire would descend from the sky and consume the sacrifice that Allah has accepted. This is what the scholars of tafsir and history teach us. Ibn Kathir discusses in Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya. The scholars of tafsir mention this as well. So these sacrifices were done at a high point. So the two brothers, they went. Now Qabil, he was a farmer. He was a farmer. So he had crops with him. He had produce with him. When he looked at his produce, he took the worst of his produce, that which he didn't want to eat anyway. And he says, I will go give this in sacrifice, because even if it gets burnt, I wasn't going to eat it anyway. But Habil, he was a shepherd, and he had animals. He took the fattest animal he had, the best. He says, I will give this tour for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They went, they placed their animals, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted, naturally, the sacrifice of who? Of Habil, not Qabil. And now they're coming down to tell the father. Because Adam said, whoever has his sacrifice accepted, he will decide who he marries, and that's the end of it. As they're walking down, Qabil is very, very angry. And he's very jealous, and he's very upset. Allah tells us, وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بَنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقَّ. Allah says, recite to them the story of Adam's two sons in truth. إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانًا. When they both went and placed a sacrifice for the sake of Allah. فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. And Allah accepted the sacrifice of one and didn't accept the sacrifice of the other. قَالَ قَابِلْ said, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. I'm going to kill you. Where did he get this from? Allah knows best. Maybe he saw some animals killing each other, so the idea came in his mind. Because the murder never happened before. Murder had never happened before. The earth never knew this in terms of mankind. قَالَ هَابِلْ said to his brother, قَابِلْ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. My brother, indeed Allah only accepts from those who are righteous. My sacrifice was from righteousness. You didn't step up. He's telling him the reality, right? So Habil goes on to say, La in basat Dhak, who was reading that? Dhakir, huh? Naam. La in basatta ilayk. If you yadaka, if you take your hand and stretch it out to kill me, you stretch it out to me to kill me. Ma ana bi basiti yadi. I'm not going to stretch out my hand to you. I will not reciprocate your action. If you want to kill me, I won't do the same. Because why? In his heart, the fitrah that he had, this is a wrong action. People who have iman, they are fuqaha of themselves. Yani, al-mu'min faqihu nafsi, as Imam Shatibi says. That the mu'min, the one who has true iman, he's a faqih of himself. He doesn't need a fatwa from a sheikh. Deep down he knows, you know what? This doesn't feel right. So the brother is saying, مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطِ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ. I'm not going to stretch my hand out to you. If you do it, I'm not going to do the same. لِأَقْتُلَكَ to kill you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. He says, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَن تَبُوءَ بِإِثْمِي وَإِثْمِكَ فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. A lesson for Banu Israel and all of mankind. Allah is talking to the people of Musa. Those who kill discriminately. Indiscriminately, Allahul Musta'an. Allah says that he said, indeed, I want you to obtain thereby my sin and your sin. If you kill me, then Allah will forgive me. You will just take my sins from me. But I'm not going to be a person who will be a companion with you in this matter, whereby we both sinful. He says, فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. And you will be from the people of the fire. And that is the recompense for those who do wrong. And this teaches us that Adam alayhi salam was teaching his sons. Adam alayhi salam was a father. Where did they get this knowledge from? From their father, Adam alayhi salam. So the days and the weeks passed. Abdullah ibn Amr, he adds to this. He says, Habil was said to be stronger than Qabil. If he wanted, he could have dealt with his brother. He was stronger in stature and in power. But his iman guided his strength. That he only used his strength in the right way. Subhanallah. But as for Qabil, he was weaker in stature and power. But he didn't have iman. So he plotted and he planned. And then one day, Qabil was with his father Adam. And Habil didn't appear. So Adam told Qabil, go look for your brother. He went to search for his brother. And he found his brother sleeping. So what did he do? He took a rock, as some of the scholars of tafsir say, and some say he strangled him, and he threw it on his head and killed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this in the Quran. فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ فَقَتَلَهُ فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That he killed his brother and he was from the losers. Now he was in a dilemma. What do I do? I have this body here. What do I do with this body? He's dead. I killed him. And this is what happens to a person. Shaitan cheats you. Shaitan says, do the crime and you'll be a better person after. And you will see this in Surah Yusuf. What did Shaitan tell the brothers? Uqtulu Yusuf. Kill him. Get rid of him. وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. After that, you'll be a righteous people. After that, you can ask for forgiveness, you'll be good. And the good you do will wipe out the bad. Shaitan doesn't tell you that sin gives birth to more sin. You killed now you need to hide a body. What are you going to do? So he was in a dilemma. But Allah's mercy upon the son of Adam who was righteous, Allah sent a crow. And a crow killed another crow. And the one crow buried the other crow. So now what happens? Qabil is watching this. And Allah tells us in the Quran, فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ. Allah sent the crow searching in the ground to show him how to hide the disgrace of his brother. He said, Qabil said, woe to me, have I failed to be like the crow and hide, meaning bury the body of my brother? And he became from the regretful. But it's too late. It's a regret that doesn't bring people who've passed away back to life. It's a regret that doesn't cause the bullet to come back into the barrel. Subhanallah. So this is the second story, and then we have the third story, which is the banquet from the heavens, and that is the story related to the people of Isa alayhi salam. And inshallah tomorrow we will discuss that story when our imams read it in the salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the family of Al-Quran, make us a people that read the Quran, that love to listen to the Quran, that try and understand the Quran, that ponder over the guidance of the Quran. Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, if we were true with the Quran, we will be guided by Allah in ways beyond our ability to imagine. Huwa hablullahi al-matin wal qawl al-hakim was sirat al-mustaqim. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is the Quran. It is the bond that is unbreakable. It's hablullahi al-matin. It's the rope of Allah that cannot be unchained and undone. Was sirat al-mustaqim, as we read in Surah Al-Fatiha, it is the right path. And it's al-qawl al-hakim, it is the wise guide. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to live with the family of Al-Quran, and to be raised on the day of Qiyamah with the family of Al-Quran, and to make us a people that have the Quran as our defendants when we meet Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Hada wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Barakallahu feek.